inning, and since he lost to the Nationals 7-6.
From the Ohio News Network, this is Ohio Sports Magazine. Now here's your host, Matt Andrews.
Greetings and welcome to this week's Ohio Sports Magazine here on the Ohio News Network. We're going to talk Buckeye hockey with Nadeem Muzzaroff, the national champion head coach. We'll also hear from Paul Keels discussing the men's basketball season and spring football and much more of our show. But let's start as we rewind to last weekend when Ohio State's women's hockey team won their second national championship in 3 years. Nadeem Muzzaroff joined our Tim Hall on the Buckeye Show on our flagship in Columbus and throughout the state. Here's part of that conversation with Tim Hall and Buckeye women's hockey coach Nadeem Muzzaroff.
The coach, Coach Muzz, Nadeem Muzzaroff, thanks for joining us again. How special is this a day after?
It feels really good, to be honest with you. It feels great. Just very proud for the girls and all their hard work. And it's always fun to beat a Badger.
I mean, coming home had to feel good, too. I mean, I'm seeing you're getting the reception at the airport. That's great. When you get back, fans are there waiting for you. You got some TV crews there to say hello and to greet you. That tells you that you're really making moves.
Well, especially in a state such as Ohio, where it's, dominantly football. So if we're making, hockey on the map in Ohio, I think that says a lot for our sport and for the fans. I mean, let's be honest, Ohio loves to win, regardless of what sport it is. So we feel the love from everybody all around the state.
Tell me if you agree. I said this before about your game, but I mean, you're the coach, so you know better than me. The fact that you had to win this one 1-0, the fact that you met up against Wisconsin in the national championship game, this was not some 5-0 drubbing. You guys weren't on a heater. You had to grind. You had to work. You had to work your butts off, and it had to be joy done, right, to get the goal, and then you just survived. I had to make it so much sweeter, in my view. Was it that way?
Not when you're on the other side of the bench. I'd like 5-0 anytime, but when you're going toe to toe and it's two heavyweights punching at each other and giving blows. Blow for blow, it's not going to be a 5-0 game. They're very talented. They have 3 Patty Kazmaier finalists on their roster to our none. Although, I think we should have had a few, but that's where you say, hey, the individual awards do not overlook the national championship. So we were just ecstatic at beating them because they're individually very talented with a lot of senior national players. And, we're a program, like we talk about, of being up and coming, and I always say the sexy new nightclub. So a lot of people are very, very excited about us and what we're developing here at Ohio State. But it's supposed to be a grind, right? It's exciting for the fans, exciting for the sport, to grow the sport. And we had a really good crowd. I guess it was the second or third largest crowd ever for the NCAA women's hockey. So we were just excited for all the fans that came and supported us, and the band was there, and we had our president there, and Ross and Jean and his wife Sheila. So I mean, everybody that was there was so excited for everybody. But at the same time, you didn't see Wisconsin's president or athletic director, so I think it said a lot about OSU and the family that we have here.
It's got to tell you that good things are coming, that you've done the work now and you've showed what's possible. So it seems that administration is going to actually show you some things here in the coming years.
Well, it doesn't hurt that President Carter was a hockey player himself. I mean, his call sign when he was a Top Gun pilot was Slapshot.
Are you serious? I knew about the Top Gun thing. His code name was Slapshot. That is so cool.
Yeah. So he's a big hockey fan.
Wow.
I love talking to him because he's a really student of the game. Like, he loves it. He's passionate about it. So I got to be on my toes because he's like dissecting the periods after every period.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah, he's big time hockey player. Yeah. So I know he'll push for our rink and our support of, women getting the recognition and, the rink that they deserve for sure.
What were the final 5 minutes or so of that hockey game like?
It was a lot of pressure, but you know what? I wouldn't want to be anywhere else. I love that stuff.
And, you see? That's what I mean.
I love it. I do. I mean, I get to wake up every Monday and be like, how do we prepare for our next opponent and have that rush all through the week? But that's what you play for. That's why kids transfer to OSU. They want the opportunity to win a national championship. And we had a lot of individual players with a lot of individual talented players that had never been to a national championship game before. So they just wanted it so bad. And I mean, that's what you want. You want to go toe to toe. You want to go blow for blow. And it's just, it's supposed to be tough, or everybody yes. would do it. It would seem easy and anybody could do it, but not anybody can do it. It's a small percentage that can ever say that they won a national championship. And so for these girls to have won 2 and 3 years, I mean, that's pretty special considering where we were a few years back.
Nadine Muzzerall, the head coach of the Ohio State women's hockey team, national champs once again, second time in 3 years. And for my money, there is no more exciting thing in sports than when say you're in the Stanley Cup playoffs, or in this case, the Frozen Four, right? You're in a national championship game setting in a hockey game, and you've got the one goal lead and the other team is throwing everything in the kitchen sink at you. Empty net, all that. It is as thrilling as anything in sports theater to me.
Well, you have to eat pucks, and you know it's going to hurt and it's going to burn, but like, you will leave a legacy and you will forever ever have that national title that no one can take from you. And so, yeah, taking a puck to like the clavicle or to the gut, it's worth it. It might sting for a minute, but you know what? Those go away, but to have a national title will never be taken from you. And so I was just so impressed with the young ladies and all that they've done and sacrificed, and they were ready. I mean, we had a plan and they executed the plan. And it was a true character win, because we lost to them the last time we played them, and we lost them pretty good. And I did have some concerns of how they were going to come out and play with their mental side of the game. Physically, I knew they were fine, but I just needed to know how the troops were going to rally.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
They were phenomenal. They were a bunch of warriors. One shift after another just kept coming after you. And they were relentless, and just so much respect, because they did all the heavy lifting.
You had 100 wins in this 3-year stretch. 100 wins. You're going to miss these gals that are done now for good.
Yeah, a lot. A lot. They were special. I mean, my seniors went to a Frozen Four all 4 years. You know, and how do you replace experience? It's very difficult when you're recruiting freshmen. So it's going to hurt, but I trust in my staff of we're going to really tap into that transfer portal and get some kids that want to be a Buckeye and want to win. And, you know, hopefully find, you know, another Barnes or Bilka that transferred over.
We'll have more of the Ohio Sports Magazine when we continue here on the Ohio News Network.
Bishop and Friends.
I did get fondled a little bit, you know, hey, step aside, and they grabbed me all over, but I was clean. I wasn't trying to sneak anything on.
Bishop and Friends.
Sponsored by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Weekdays from 9 to noon.
At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Now back to Ohio Sports Magazine on the Ohio News Network. Once again, here's Matt Andrews.
Welcome back to the Ohio Sports Magazine. The voice of the Buckeyes, Paul Keels, who you'll hear a little bit later, talking with one of his guests about the Reds. We're talking Buckeye basketball. We'll talk Buckeye football in our next segment, Paul. But earlier this week, the season ended, and what a little run that was for Jake Diebler in this team. I guess the obvious question is, what changed?
Well, I think we saw once Jake took over as interim head coach, he started playing a few more people. Went deeper down the bench, and really kind of, Matt, got across a message to the players. Play as hard as you can. Play to exhaustion to where you have to come out. We'll take you out, but we'll put you back in. So you saw Dale Bonner start to get more minutes, and that translated in some production out of him. Scotty Middleton, when he was there, started getting more time. Selectively, there were some instances where Bowen Hardman came in. And it really paid off. But I think that it was, you know, obviously a change in voice probably had a lot to do with it. We saw a little more, I don't know if creativity is the right word, but a little more movement offensively at times, a little more transition offense, pushing the pace. But the players, I think their production really showed their feeling about Jake Diebler.
Now that the season has ended, the portal is obviously an option to get and receive, and the coaching staff remains a huge obstacle. So what are the challenges now for Coach Diebler?
Well, I'm sure that the portal is probably the first thing that he's been thinking about even before the season ended, and retaining those that he can on this roster is going to be crucial. You know, there's the sophomore group of Bruce Thornton, Roddy Gale, Felix Akpara, and Evan Mahaffey. Those are linchpins. You've got to think that it's going to be very important to keep them there. Devin Royal, with the way he played as a freshman at the back end of the season, another one that's got to be a priority. And then from there, who knows? I think certainly trying to look at what is there in the portal. There, you know, Matt, there's the other thing. Zed Key has the option to possibly come back if he wants to and if they want him to come back. So it'll be, you know, the other important thing, too, is the two, Junie Mobley and Colin White, have reaffirmed their commitment to come and play for Jake Diebler. The coaching staff's going to be a real interesting one. As we know, Dave Dickerson has been brought back. It's possible that there could be three other spots that Jake would look to have to fill. Certainly that's been something I'm sure that's in his mind, but it'll be interesting to see how both those avenues play out.
Wonderful game, the finale.
Oh,
at home against Georgia. Wonderful game. I know it didn't go Ohio State's way, but the fan base and the ability for Ohio State to get Jamison Battle the postseason he deserved. Were those kind of the two storylines there down the stretch for this club?
Absolutely. You know, Jamison Battle, who is at his third school, but for the first time playing in any postseason, and you really saw him play at a high level. And it wasn't just being a three-point shooter. You know, the other night against Georgia, a couple of impressive drives to the basket. He had a block shot against Virginia Tech that was just amazing to see. But a guy that really became a leader on this basketball team. You know, he wasn't just a stand-up shooter. Maybe the thing, Matt, that I'll remember the most, as soon as the game ended and he had missed that last shot, after a few seconds, he was consoling his teammates. He was walking around the arena, applauding the crowd, hugging his mother, a guy that really embraced it. So it was great to see, and great to see these players get postseason activity. Jake Diebler's talked a lot about the experience of being in one-and-done situations and embracing that and, you know, having to play at a high level. And the crowd, you can't begin to talk enough about the atmosphere. Now, obviously, there's some differences in how the arena was set up with the curtain in the upper deck. Seat licenses are out of play, so people that don't normally get a chance to sit in the lower bowl were able to. Tickets were a little price-friendly. You know, there's some people wondering if maybe there's some November and December games they should look at doing that. And that's probably too tough to do from a ticket office standpoint, but the atmosphere was phenomenal.
Great recap, fun season, and you and Ron, of course, were awesome. We'll talk some Buckeye spring football with Paul when we continue here on the Ohio News Network.
Hey, folks, it's game day, and the betting's going to be intense, Drew.
You said it, Dave, but a good pregame routine keeps betting responsible.
That's right. You got to pause before you play.
Good call. Sports betting is hot, but it can be risky.
And pausing to set limits is an all-star move.
That's right, Dave. If you bet on sports, pause before you play to set limits, recognize the risk, and know when to stop.
Learn more at pausebeforeyouplay.org.
Hello, it's John Kozik, founder and president of TurboTrack Realty, and I buy houses as is fast for cash. Call me today for an all-cash offer on any of your properties, and we can close within days at 614-470-2000, 614-470-2000. Do you own a property that's outdated and needs thousands of dollars in repairs? Great, I'll buy it. Give us a call today for an all-cash offer at 614-470-2000, 614-470-2000. Would it be convenient for you if you could simply take what you wanted and leave the rest behind? Great, I'll buy it. I buy vacant properties, inherited homes, divorce situations, death in the family, apartment buildings, rental portfolios. I even buy my tenant won't pay me the rent houses. Call TurboTrack Realty today for an all-cash offer and speak with one of our friendly staff members at 614-470-2000, 614-470-2000.
Springtime is here, and you know what that means. It's time for Mulch Madness. Did you know that too much mulch is bad for trees and shrubs? 2 inches of mulch is plenty. Any more and you risk causing roots to grow up and around trunks, which increases unhealthy stress, shortens tree life, and even keeps moisture from getting down to tree roots. To find out more about mulch madness, or to find a certified arborist near you, visit treesforohio.org. That's trees, the number 4, ohio.org.
Have you ever told a friend?
Oh, I'm fine.
When you really felt
just so overwhelmed.
Or sent a text.
Can't sleep. Are you awake?
When you couldn't find the words to say.
I'm scared to be alone with my thoughts right now.
Then this is your sign to reach out to the 988 Lifeline for 24/7 free confidential support. You don't have to hide how you feel. Text, call, or chat anytime.
Ohio's public schools are safe, welcoming learning environments where everyone can thrive, no exceptions. Thanks to the nearly 120,000 public school educators in the Ohio Education Association. We are dedicated professionals who deserve respect, a living wage, and a seat at the table when decisions are made. And we're using our united voice to demand the supports and resources our students need to succeed. Because in Ohio, public education matters.
Ohio sports destination. Now back to Ohio Sports Magazine on the Ohio News Network. Once again, here's Matt Andrews.
Welcome back to the Ohio Sports Magazine. One more segment with the voice of the Buckeyes, Paul Keels, before we transition into some Reds baseball talk. But Paul, let's talk about spring football starting. It's not starting. It's almost over, which is crazy.
I'm
because as we double up on these season crossovers, you lose track of time. But Ryan Day's had a significant changes in his staff, and then obviously all of the incoming new faces. So as the voice, how quickly do you learn that roster for the spring game coming up in less than 2 weeks?
Well, as you well know, Matt, the spring game sometimes it doesn't involve some of the new additions and the people that are crucial once fall season gets here. It's people that haven't played a lot that you don't know much about. It's, you know, glorified practice. We all know that. But it is interesting to see and hear and read the comments and the things about all of the new players that have come in and also the players who returned. You know, we talked previously in basketball about roster retention. When you think about Jalen Tuimoloau, Jack Sawyer, Travion Henderson, guys coming back that could have left. So it's interesting to see how they continue to play. How they continue to practice in the spring. You know, who knows what a spring game is going to look like? You know, we always try and warn people, don't read a lot into what you see on April 13th. You know, they're going to avoid injury. They're going to avoid showing things to potential opponents. But it'll also be interesting to see the coaching dynamic, too, with Chip Kelly here, how that translates into both the passing and the running game, whatever happens with running back coach position. But it's just a reminder more than anything, and you know it better than anybody, just that the big monster, and I mean it in a good way, that Ohio State football is.
You mean the big monster that will be those media/network TV timeouts for a spring game now. And obviously, the game's going to be on radio. You'll have a call. But it's wild to me that we've gone to a glorified scrimmage being on network television now in the spring.
I think that's part of the TV contracts they have with these conferences and with these schools. And it also, Matt, as you know, speaks to the brand that Ohio State
sure.
is. So it's funny when you think about how, I know my first year doing Ohio State football, the spring game was a controlled scrimmage. We were standing up on a painter's platform at the practice field at Woody Hayes. There were the couple of years they had the games at Crew Stadium. When Jim Tressel was the coach, you know, supposedly the second half was going to be running clock, but if it was a close game, they changed it to start and stop. You would see players sometimes go from one side to the other. Everything's on the table and all fair game in a spring game.
What are your feelings on, is there a quarterback battle? Do you think we'll know more about that in the next couple of weeks? Where do you think that is?
I don't know if it's a quarterback battle, but I think there's a lot of curiosity how it plays out. Will Howard, you've got to think, comes here not to be a backup. They don't put the effort in to get him to be a backup. But Devin Brown probably feels like he's got something to prove. You know, what can he do? Can he stay healthy? First off, we saw last year before he got hurt at Purdue the thrill of what he brings. Now, Will Howard also being a running threat, does that mitigate where they used Devin Brown in some of those red zone package situations? Where is Lincoln Keenholz in all of this? You know, he got thrown to the fire in the Cotton Bowl, and it was really unfair to him. But and then the two young freshman quarterback coming in, you know, just continued development for them. But a quarterback question, I don't know that it's necessarily a battle. You've got to think, and this is just guesstimating, it's Will Howard's number one job to lose unless he shows some inconsistency and Devin Brown wows everybody.
Put me in the front of the line, looking forward to watching Caleb Downs in person. I think that's going to be something.
No, I think so, too. In what this has done, it that area and others, I think it's created some great competition at some of these position groups. We've seen some other guys that have flashed at times, but, you know, consistency is what coaches and fans are looking for. But, yeah, Caleb Downs, among others, that's going to be interesting to watch.
Thanks for your time. We'll look forward to the spring game call.
Always a pleasure.
That's the voice of the Buckeyes, Paul Keels. More of the Ohio Sports Magazine when we continue here on the Ohio News Network.
Join us for Gambling Things, Fantasy Sports, Gambling Things, and most importantly, Gambling Things. Hollywood Casinos on the Money, Sunday morning at 9.
Presented by Ohio for Responsible Gambling.
The Fan. Now back to Ohio Sports Magazine on the Ohio News Network. Once again, here's Matt Andrews.
Welcome back to the Ohio Sports Magazine. Now let's check in on Cleveland. Eric Reeser joins us from the Ohio News Network.
Tyvis Powell's my guest. He's national champion defensive back at The Ohio State University, former safety in the NFL. You can hear him statewide on the Cleveland Browns radio network, on ONN affiliate WBNS-FM in Columbus, and you can see him weekdays on YouTube, the Ultimate Cleveland Sports Show. Did I do all of that properly, friend?
Yes, you did. I appreciate you for doing that.
I appreciate you. Look, this week, NFL owners and decision makers met in Orlando, did some rule changing, banning the hip drop tackle and making the kickoff more return friendly. What do you think of those changes, Tyvis, and how do you see hip drop tackles being officiated?
Well, I hate the hip drop thing. Really infuriates me. It really grinds my gears every time I think about it and I get into this mode, because it's always like they all looking to handicap the defense. Don't get me wrong, I know everybody comes to the game and they love to see the big play, and nobody likes to see defenders make plays, but you're really making it hard on guys like DBs. You know, when these guys catch a, let's just take a routine slant route, you go tackle that, you usually tackle it around his waist and dropping your hips to make that tackle, because you have to do what you can to get him on the ground. Well, if you're banning that, how are they supposed to get them on the ground? They're supposed to just run their feet and try to run them forward? Okay, so they get a bunch of more yards? So I think it's really just something that they didn't think full through. I think this rule was made by people that never played the game of football, because I feel like the NFLPA may have been against this ban, but they went ahead and made it a thing anyways. I don't know how you govern this, how they're going to referee this. I don't know if they're going to throw the flag or if they're going to get fined for it, but I just think it's something that a defender now has to worry about. Like, that's not fair. Where an offensive guy doesn't have to think about those things. They think about just making a play and going forward. So I don't like that. As far as the kick return goes, you know, I like when the XFL first did this, when they first opened their season. I thought it was remarkable. I thought it was a way to make it safer. You know, it took a lot of collisions out of the game, and you were still able to make returns. I know in the XFL, I don't think they had a ton of success with returns, but the NFL is the elite amongst the elite, and I would love to see how these special teams coordinators get creative in trying to make big returns. So I'm actually interested to see how that works. I think it's a safer way to keep the kickoff in there. I think it still allows defenders to still make plays and still bring some energy, but it also lets the returner be able to bring a lot of energy to the offense. I think this is a way to keep special teams as an important unit in football without phasing it out.
Tyvis, Browns owner Jimmy Haslam was also available to speak earlier this week in Orlando, and he talked about the possibility of moving the Browns to a new domed stadium near Hopkins International Airport with a $2 billion price tag, or keeping the team on the lakefront at a $1 billion stadium renovation. Which option makes the most sense to you, and do you think that is the route that the Browns take?
I think that the Browns should do the Dome Stadium. I know that it's taking it out of downtown, and a lot of people love that it's downtown to be right there on the lake. But, I mean, let's be honest. You know, you want to make this stadium attractive to bring Super Bowls here. You know, a Super Bowl in Cleveland would be nice, just for the city of Cleveland. You know, just to say that we actually got a chance to host a Super Bowl. Well, that's not going to happen with the current stadium conditions, especially with the weather playing the part that it plays with that wind and lake effect. I think the Dome Stadium would be nice. Now we don't have to worry about, like the New Orleans Saints game on Christmas Eve a couple of years ago where it was snowed and, it was hardly anybody in the stadium because it was so cold there. Now everybody can come and enjoy the game. Weather doesn't play an element. You don't have to worry about the kickers missing because of the wind conditions and stuff like that. And I think everybody will still enjoy the season. So I'm definitely all for the Dome Stadium, unless they're going to build a dome downtown, which I don't think they're going to do. So the Brook Park Browns is probably where they'll be in a couple of years.
Tyvus, earlier this month, former Heisman Trophy winning quarterback Robert Griffin III said he thinks Caleb Williams should tell the Bears he won't play for them if they take him with the number one overall pick. RG3 called it pulling an Eli, in reference to what Eli Manning did back in 04, telling the Chargers not to pick him because he didn't want to play for San Diego. Then earlier this week, Deion Sanders says his kids might do the same, especially if his son Shador, who could be the number one pick next year, goes to a city that he doesn't like. Could any of these actually happen? And what do you think has been the trend in an increase in people saying so-and-so is going to pull an Eli?
First of all, I think absolutely it could happen. You can absolutely predict where you want to go or project where you want to go and say, I don't want to play for you, so don't draft me. And the team will not draft you. So you could do that and dictate where you want to go. However, I don't think that's the best move. I think that the point is to show your light, to show that you, it don't matter where you at, you can make it work. A lot of players go to teams that was nothing. Joe Burrow went to the Cincinnati Bengals that were nothing, and he made them something because of who he is. If you're as good as you say you are, then you can bring the best out of everybody. And that's the whole purpose of being a top pick in the draft, is to be the one piece that changes our entire franchise. That helps your greatness. But I also get that people want to be put in the right situation. They want to go to a place where, that they know the owner's going to take care of them. They know that they got pieces that they can work with and be successful. I get that. You don't want to flame out after 3 years or be labeled a bust. So if you want to do it that route, I'm all for it. I don't see anything wrong with either way. As long as you get in there, you do the best that you can, and you try your best to help that franchise become a Super Bowl contender, that's all that anybody can ask for anyway.
Tyvus Powell, my guest, hear him statewide on the Cleveland Browns Radio Network on WBNS-FM. That's the ONN affiliate in Columbus. And weekdays, 11 to 1 on YouTube, the ultimate Cleveland sports show. Tyvus, thanks so much for the time today, bud.
Thank you. Go Browns, go Bucks.
Thanks, Eric. Up next, we head south here in the Buckeye State. Paul Keels checks in on Cincinnati right here on the Ohio News Network.
Rockman and Ice.
You know who Al Capone was?
Yes.
Okay. So Al Capone, the great gangster, the infamous gangster from Chicago. I can't believe
really proud of his work.
Right? Yeah, he's a great guy,
Rockman and Ice. Weekdays at noon.
Sponsored by Pella Columbus.
The Fan. Now back to Ohio Sports Magazine on the Ohio News Network. Once again, here's Matt Andrews.
Well, as we all know, this past week was opening day of the Major League Baseball season. That's excluding the games that were played in South Korea the previous week. But here with Matt Andrews, who lifelong Reds fan, like some of us in this building here, grew up in the Washington Courthouse area, close enough to Cincinnati to be a big Reds fan. Matt, when you think about opening day in your youth and in your adulthood, how does it get your juices flowing?
Yeah, and I'll turn the question on you in a minute, Paul, but there were many a days growing up in grade school where I was permitted to be off.
By your parents or
by
teachers?
By my parents. Okay. My parents would bring us out of school if we wanted for opening day to either, for me, listen to the game or watch the game. Sometimes, as you know, Paul, back in the day growing up, the game wasn't on local television. Or if it was a Cincy-based channel. But I would just sit there and soak it all in with a radio call. Marty, Joe, the pregame stuff, the Jim Scott in the morning, and live the parade, hear the highlights. They'd play those 70s highlights from championships. And so it was more about the game as a kid for me. And growing up just north of Cincinnati, I soon found out by going to those games, it was a parade day holiday for everybody.
It certainly was. And,
right?
And growing up in Cincinnati, there were a number of kids that you'd see. They would get the day off if they were going to the game. And that was usually the school's limitation. Okay, show us a ticket or something like that if they were going to the game. But we were also fortunate to, at times, the nuns of the Catholic grade school I went to, they'd bring a TV in so we could watch some of it before the school day ended. And then you got out and you usually were tuned to a radio. But The Findlay Market Parade is, mm-hmm. is certainly something that the city embraces. The other part, Matt, that was always wild for me is, and didn't realize until you got older, because of being the oldest franchise in baseball, the Reds were always given the opportunity to be the first game. And can recall when that changed. It was the mid-1980s. I was working in Detroit and at a game at Tiger Stadium where the Tigers were playing the Boston Red Sox. And they started about an hour before the Reds played. And it just, as a Cincinnati native, something seemed wrong about that.
And didn't they start a 90 or 91 opening day at ESPN night game, I think? And that kind of got everybody riled up a little bit.
Yeah.
It wasn't the traditional day game.
It was a Sunday night game. And if I'm not mistaken, I think it was Easter Sunday.
Yeah.
But it was because of the TV package. So, but yeah, the opening day, there's so many things you think about it. The parade, who's going to be the opening day starter? There were some years, and I can remember one in the late 70s, there was snow on the ground. On opening day, but they were able to get it cleared and played. So it really is a religion.
What about opening day highlights for you? We obviously know the John McSherry. That was not a highlight. That was a sad day. But were there moments on opening day that come to your mind more than
the
others?
The first one, and I'll talk about the John McSherry because that's the last opening day I was at. Actually, the only opening day I ever attended. But the first one that jumps to mind is 1974. The Reds opening at home against the Atlanta Braves, and Hank Aaron is chasing the home run record. And there was all the controversy about whether or not the Braves would play him in Cincinnati, and Bowie Kuhn, the commissioner, put his foot down, and you know, unless he was injured, he needed to play. So getting out of high school and being in my car driving home, listening to the game, Aaron, in the first inning against Jack Billingham, smacks a home run to tie Babe Ruth's record. So that's one of the ones that will always stand out. But the John McSherry situation in 1996, being at opening day, and I remember being with a bunch of coworkers in a private party area out in the foul area in right field, and getting there right as the game started, and you know, you're kind of half paying attention, half not, because people are there. And five pitches into the game, all of a sudden things stop, and people started talking about what had happened to John McSherry. Had collapsed behind home plate, and it was probably about 45 minutes to an hour, and all of a sudden on the scoreboard and the public address system, there was a message for everyone to please offer their prayers for John McSherry and his family, which made you really concerned about what was happening. And maybe another 15 minutes or so after that, they announced the game had been postponed. And I can remember going down into both clubhouses, the Reds and the Montreal Expos, and being there interviewing players and managers too. Felipe Alou was Moises Alou was the one player I remember specifically, because if I'm not mistaken, Moises might have been in the batter's box when John McSherry collapsed, and just the stunned shock that everybody in both those clubhouses had about what had happened. It wasn't until maybe another hour or so later was made public that John had passed away.
Later in my career, I had a chance to work with Delino DeShields, who I believe was the leadoff man for Montreal at that point, and was not playing in the game, was not in the batter's box, but was in the lineup. And he talked a lot about that and just the reality of the situation. And when they said, we're done, you didn't really expect that or understand it, but you certainly were shocked that everything had transpired as it had. Joe Randa's home run there a few years later was that one of the highlights for me.
Really?
Going to that game and seeing the walk-off Randa home run. And I think that was 05. But went to about 8 in a row there when I worked down in Louisville for the Reds AAA team. And that was a great perk, certainly, to be able to buy those opening day tickets that usually weren't available to the masses.
No. And, you know, the other thing I can remember, too, Matt, about opening day, and knowing this from some of the Reds front office people, one of their poorest attended games was usually game two. Mm. Because they'd have opening day, they'd have a day off, and then they'd play a night game. And it would be one of their poorest attendances. So a few years ago, probably about 10, 12 years ago, they tried to make a big deal out of opening night and getting people to come. And the 2010 season, when I was fortunate enough to do some games on TV, opening night was my first regular season game, and they had us wearing tuxes.
Whatever team you cheer for, opening day special, isn't it?
It certainly is. And, you know, I think it just kind of gets everybody ready for warm weather. Well, thank you to Matt Andrews for sharing opening day thoughts about the Reds and how special it is in Southern Ohio.
More of the Ohio Sports Magazine when we continue here on the Ohio News Network.
Some foot issues just can't be fixed by those expensive shoe stores or shoe inserts. A foot exam from a doctor of podiatric medicine, who is the medical expert in foot and ankle care, may give solutions after doing a complete foot examination. If you suffer from foot, heel, or ankle pain, let us help you find a member of the Ohio Foot and Ankle Medical Association so you know you are being treated by the very best. For more information or to find a member of the Ohio Foot and Ankle Medical Association near you, visit ohiofoot.org.
Hey, folks, it's game day, and the betting's going to be intense, Drew.
You said it, Dave, but a good pregame routine keeps betting responsible.
That's right. You got to pause before you play.
Good call. Sports betting is hot, but it can be risky.
And pausing to set limits is an all-star move.
That's right, Dave. If you bet on sports, pause before you play. To set limits, recognize the risk, and know when to stop.
Learn more at pausebeforeyouplay.org.
Do you want a job that is flexible, secure, and fun? It also offers excellent pay and is ranked as one of the best jobs in America, too. I'm talking about being a dental hygienist. And all you have to do is complete a two-year program after high school. Visit ODA.org to learn more and to start helping people love their smile. This message is brought to you by the members of the Ohio Dental Association.
Springtime is here, and you know what that means? It's time for Mulch Madness. Did you know that too much mulch is bad for trees and shrubs? 2 inches of mulch is plenty. Any more and you risk causing roots to grow up and around trunks, which increases unhealthy stress, shortens tree life, and even keeps moisture from getting down to tree roots. To find out more about Mulch Madness, or to find a certified arborist near you, visit treesforohio.org. That's trees, the number 4, ohio.org.
The ONN Daily Podcast. Get a recap of all the day's news from across the state.
ONN affiliate WBNS-TV in Columbus has more.
Haley Kirby reporting in downtown Toledo.
From the State House, Kevin Landers.
ONN Canton.
ONN affiliate WKYC-TV in Cleveland explains.
In Marietta, Brett Wharf, ONN News.
Emma Henderson in Genoa.
The ONN Daily Podcast. Listen at onnradio.com or wherever you download your favorite podcasts from the Ohio News Network.
And now, Public Education Matters with Ohio Education Association President Scott DeMauro.
Most Ohioans agree, every child, regardless of what they look like, where they're from, or how much money their family makes, deserves a world-class education and safe, welcoming public schools where they can learn, grow, and thrive. Our public tax dollars belong in our public schools. Tell your lawmakers to prioritize fully and fairly funding Ohio's public schools.
Public Education Matters, brought to you by the Ohio Education Association.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Now back to Ohio Sports Magazine on the Ohio News Network. Once again, here's Matt Andrews.
Welcome back to the Ohio Sports Magazine. It's the ultimate Cleveland sports show, and let's check in with our producer, Colin Berenger.
Thanks, Matt. This week on the Ultimate Cleveland Sports Show, a lot of discussion about the future of the Cleveland Browns stadium situation. Dee and Jimmy Haslam spoke at the owners' meetings this week about the options they have for a future of their stadium, and the guys break down the possible options.
Another thing that Jimmy Haslam said at the owners' meetings was he's essentially down to two options for a new stadium. Renovate the current stadium downtown for $1 billion.
Which I assume means no roof.
Correct. Yes, no roof. Or build a dome stadium outside of downtown, presumably in the Brook Park lot that he has optioned to buy earlier.
Why can't, what I don't understand is why is it not an option to build a new stadium downtown?
There's no space. Not to do what he wants to do.
Okay.
Not to put a dome.
You could
find the land,
yeah,
to put a dome stadium, but he wants it all. He wants the mixed-use component,
right.
Restaurants, hotels,
so that he should pay for shopping. The whole thing.
I don't disagree. That's, yeah. I think so, too.
That's kind of how Jerry's world is.
Yeah.
And,
well, that's what
not,
a lot of teams are doing
not the
now.
Stadium, but yeah. Like the practice facility.
The Star.
It's in Frisco.
Yes.
It's like his own city.
It's like a community,
yeah,
down there.
Yeah.
Well, where the Patriots.
As I was reporting out this Cavs story,
yeah,
they kept referring back to the Star.
Oh, yeah. It's unbelievable.
Frisco.
It was a beautiful. Thank God I got to spend me a training camp and preseason there. It was nice.
The Star in Frisco is incredible.
Renovating the current stadium seems stupid.
It's awful.
It's a terrible idea.
Well, yeah, you're the one that said that it's the poorly built and all those things.
It doesn't. You know what's funny? the company that designed Brown Stadium
yeah.
is the one doing the Cavs practice. but they are very good. They are that stadium is a clunker, but this company is very good. But they don't even have a service level that goes all the way around the stadium. Like it's only half.
That's all.
It's nuts. The whole design.
Wait a minute. Say that again.
The service level is not 360. It's only half.
Really?
That's why you like. There's certain spots that you have to like go to a different spot to get to a different floor.
Yeah, that's awful.
No, you're absolutely right, because yeah. when I go to the press box, I do got to... Yeah, yeah, you're right.
So, let's talk about this. The things that I don't... You are closer on these stories, but I don't even know if you know. If the team moved to Brook Park,
yeah.
how devastating is the negative impact on the
city? I don't think it is. I really don't.
So then why...
There's a lot of people who disagree with that. Okay. Smart people who disagree with that. Yeah. I look at it as, guys, it's 10 dates a year. It's much more devastating if the Guardians leave, even though they don't draw that many people, but it's 81 dates. And the Cavs with 41 dates and all the concerts that they put on, it would be far more devastating for the Cavs to leave downtown than it would be for the Browns. The Browns, it's 10 dates.
But what are people saying? Like, but the city is obviously trying to keep the team in Cleveland.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think, yeah, they should, but I don't think it's that big of a deal if they go to Brook Park. I don't see what the
you want them to go
what
to
the
Brook
horror
Park,
is.
Huh?
Well, I get
it. Makes the most sense of these two options.
Well, it's the concept. Of if what you only,
if you're getting the dome in Brook Park,
yeah, then
and you can't do that downtown.
Well, here's where you lose the economic impact. On a Sunday morning, you drive downtown. You park your car.
Yeah.
You stop at three or four bars on your way in.
Right.
You're so that part and there's really not a lot of pre-gaming going on for Guardians and Cavs games. Right. Certainly not Guardians.
Yeah.
Cavs are some, and Guardians there's a little bit, but it, obviously Browns is the big one. So those those bars and restaurants around West 3rd and around the stadium, they're going to feel it Sundays for sure. Whereas in Brook Park, you're going to drive in, you're going to walk in the stadium, and you're going to walk out.
That's not, no.
Or if you do frequent anything, it's all Jimmy's that you're frequenting.
Yeah, that's true.
Because he's going to have it all.
Yeah,
it's going to be Jimmy's world.
It is going to be Jimmy's world.
But isn't, what about like tax revenue from the stadium? Like how does that, I mean, I don't know anything about.
Yeah, I mean, that's.
You're going to lose that. I mean, what do they do? I guess, in theory, what would you turn all that land into housing? Would you develop that?
Certainly, there are better uses for what lakefront property in Cleveland.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a bad thing at all.
On these conversations, like, because we've never had a conversation about the team moving out of the city.
Right.
In terms of, like, it's not leaving the area.
Correct.
So fans are not losing their team.
Correct.
But I don't know enough about the economic impact. I know that we all know that Cleveland, in the grand scheme of America, of the big cities in America, is a struggling city in a lot of ways. It's improved. The city's been improved, and I know in the 13 years I've been living here, but it's still tough. There's a lot of poor people in the city, and I would just be. It just would suck if the regular people of Cleveland would be a negative for the people.
Here's how it's a negative for the people. If they build a dome stadium, it's going to price out a lot of fans. Like the ticket prices are going to be astronomical.
That's true.
Even more so than they already are.
Yeah,
I think. Like no one's told me that, but like it's common sense.
Right.
If Jimmy's putting $1 billion into a stadium, he's going to try to get that money back.
Yeah,
he's going to do it part of it through ticket revenue, and there's going to be PSLs or something like that. I would imagine all over again. So it's going to be very, very expensive to go to a Browns game.
PSLs.
So from that component, it would be hard. But if you're looking at, like, you want to sit in warmth and like, have a normal experience watching a game, do you want the revitalization of the greater Cleveland area? Not necessarily. It would give the city time and money to redevelop the waterfront and do it right. The Cavs are redeveloping the river, and they will for sure do it right. Like, Dan and I have had our wars in the past, but when that guy spends money, it is elite. It is top of the...
Where? Where is he?
On the new practice facility along the Cuyahoga River.
Okay.
To catch the full breakdown, just search the Ultimate Cleveland Sports Show on YouTube, subscribe to their page, and enjoy daily content covering all things Cleveland sports. We'll be back to wrap up this week's Ohio Sports Magazine when we continue on the Ohio News Network.
Hi, are you lazy?
Me too.
But even the laziest of us still need to leave the house.
So throw your pants on and follow all the tournament action with The Fan at ESPN Columbus.
He's not wearing any pants.
I'm not wearing any pants.
The Fan.
Now back to Ohio Sports Magazine on the Ohio News Network. Once again, here's Matt Andrews.
That'll put a wrap on this week's Ohio Sports Magazine. Our thanks to my guests this week. Thanks to Paul Keels, Colin Berenger, Eric Reeser, and all of our staff. We'll have a new show for you next week, right here on the Ohio News Network.
Broadcasting from the Lindsay Honda Studios.
Honda makes the cars. Lindsay makes the difference. Visit lindsayhonda.com.
WBNSFM HD.